Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. Chapter 25. The glory of the high priest who calls us to be in him, or for what is called to be in Christ. In the previous chapters, we saw that part of the process of the growth of a Christian in the salvation received in Christ resides in coming with confidence to the Lord Jesus also, so that the Lord may guide or assist him or her in removing convictions in one's understanding that are not from God, including those that before seemed to be in line with the will of God. As a Christian grows in the knowledge of the truth in the light of what the Lord teaches him or her, one is invited to what the scriptures call as laying aside or putting off the old man, his concepts, and his practices, which, in a way, can be compared to a person's action of undressing in confidence before the Lord. On the other hand, as we undress before God, we also begin to be prepared to be clothed with the new garments that the Lord offers us, which is also part of the ministry of the eternal High Priest Jesus Christ. When a person is wearing dirty clothes, it is not usual for him or her to just put on clean clothes over the dirty ones, because firstly one takes off the dirty clothes, washes one's body, and then puts on clean clothes. In this way, when the Lord Jesus wants to help and purify us, this is what he is proposing to us. He wants us to take off the old clothes because they are dirty, inadequate, or are already obsolete, so that, mainly, we may dress in new clothes. Just as people may cling to old robes materially speaking, so they may stick to old thoughts and concepts with which their consciences were clothed. Just as a natural garment is a garment for the natural body, so the set of thoughts and concepts of attitudes is also exposed in the scriptures as a garment for a person's soul, conscience, or understanding. Thus, by adopting and keeping thoughts and concepts, a person keeps oneself clothed with them. And when we consider that thoughts about how to live life may also be equated with clothes with which a person dresses one's understanding or conscience, this may even imply saying that people may have dressed up with thoughts that were not created by themselves, but which, by becoming clothed with them, became as if they were theirs too. In previous chapters, we have also seen that the Christian baptism is not the figure of some removal of material things or the external washing of the body, but a renewal of our conscience in the first place towards God. 1 Peter 3:18-22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water. There is also an anti-type which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Christian baptism, or considering oneself dead to the flesh through faith in the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary and considering oneself alive through faith in Christ's resurrection, is also expressed as the possibility of immersion in God, through the living life of the risen Christ, which causes the conscience of those who are immersed in Christ to be washed from contents that do not come from God and to receive the principles that are from God. Fellowship with God generates a renewal of the mind or understanding, exposing what is different from the truth or thought of God so that the Christian may put off the thoughts that are contrary to the Lord, just as fellowship aims to generate an awakening to what is the thought of God so that the same Christian may come to put on the understanding granted by God. Let us look carefully at the following text. Isaiah 55:6-9. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Using the principle of colligated or associated words in the scriptures, covered in the series on suggestions for reading and studying the Bible, we may see that the text in Peter's letter that we saw above explains similarly what the prophet Isaiah centuries earlier also instructed to be done. That is, when we seek the Lord or convert to God, he has compassion on us, is rich in forgiveness, and shows us the thoughts that do not come from him, but he does not do so without also teaching us his thoughts, for it is in the knowledge of what is according to God that we may truly see what is not from God. Therefore, in his role as the eternal high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ shows us what we should undress, but he also shows us with what we should be clothed. As mentioned above, putting off an evil conscience and putting on God's instruction and newness of life is one of the central facets of a Christian's continued baptism in Christ. As we leave behind our own path or walking without God's guidance, and as we lean our hearts toward the Lord, he sympathizes with us and guides us to exchange or renew the contents of our conscience. 2 Corinthians 3:15-17. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When a person comes to Christ and becomes established in the fellowship with him, the Lord makes it evident to him or her that those thoughts that previously served as apparent protection, purpose, and guide of conduct are indeed old, dirty, or inadequate. And this, so that one may choose to leave them behind and clearly see the new garments available to him or her in God. A very practical example cited in Ephesians 4 regarding what is being mentioned above is the expression "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds or putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Before being reconciled to God, an individual may have learned that through lies one could obtain some advantages and that this is part of what is proclaimed as the law of survival of the strongest. Now, however, in God, the person without the veil of human concepts, is called to see how God hates lies and that the Lord is light and loves the truth. And yet, faced with this perception that God is pleased with the truth and rejects lie, an individual may choose to leave behind the mistaken concept that there can be benefits in using the lie and may start to adopt the concept that to lean on the truth is the will to God and protection for one's life. For Christ is the way, but also the truth that guards everyone who girds one's waist with the truth. On the other hand, the scriptures mention garments in the plural, and not just a garment, which, for example, may call attention to the fact that a person who has been willing to walk in truth also should bear in mind that one should likewise be clothed with the thought of prudence, seen in the previous chapter, concerning that one should not tell everything to everyone without first praying about it to the Lord. The fact that an individual understands that it is necessary to depart from the lie and walk in the truth is not an isolated principle of life or a unique garment dissociated from the need to put on prudence. The fact that a person puts on the truth does not necessarily mean that the matters that one is still dealing with God personally must all be revealed to others. Replacing the robe of lies with the robe of truth does not imply going out and telling people everything indiscriminately, but instead always using the truth also with sobriety and prudence. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. And if we return to the texts of Peter and Isaiah set out above, we may see that what Isaiah explains as a result of seeking the Lord is described by Peter as to how this search may be done. Peter writes that the process of renewing the understanding by laying off the old to put on the new takes place by what is figured as the baptism that a person can achieve through the risen and alive Lord Jesus Christ. Peter informs us that Noah's Ark was the means by which God saved the people who were in it, but that the fact that the ark was thrown into the voluminous waters also figured the stripping of a whole set of thoughts and behaviors that were contrary to God or opposed the Lord's will. Those who were in the ark were saved not to be consumed by the waters, but their experience also symbolizes the end of a set of thoughts and behaviors that people had generally adopted until the days when the flood occurred. Now the ark is also a figure of Christ. And whoever is baptized in Christ, who is hidden or immersed in Christ, despite having also been part of the world, is protected from being consumed by the power that is in the whole Word of God, reaping also, together with immersion in fellowship with Christ, the stripping of the old conscience to receive a renewed understanding from Christ according to God's instruction. Or, still, when a person converts to the Lord Jesus Christ and remains converted to Him, immerses in Him continually. The Lord inserts him or her in Him so that one may be exposed to the will of God in such a way that one may see, without being destroyed, what is not good for one's life so that one may get rid of what was shown to him or her as inappropriate, so that one may also see the thoughts that are according to the truth of God, and so that one may dress up with these as one lays off the old and leaves them behind. Through the words he wrote to Christians or the saints who were in different places, Paul also repeatedly attests to the considerations to which Peter referred, as exemplified below. Ephesians 4:1-10. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Ephesians 2:1-7. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:1-4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Symbolized also by the ark, Christ is the one through whom we receive a noble call to leave behind a life dissociated from the eternal purpose of walking worthily before the Lord. Christ was the one who took captivity captive to offer us and grant us a novelty of life despite previously having lived subject to sin and condemning laws such as the order of Aaron. Christ is the one in whom a person is freed from a condition in which one is considered to be dead in trespasses and sins that are based on human thoughts instigated by the prince of the world who is under darkness, but Christ likewise is the one in whom a person is seated by faith with God, in the heavenly places, to have a renewed mind and quickened by the word and the living will of God. Ephesians 5, 14. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Christ is the one in whom an individual, figured by the people in the ark, dies for a whole past dissociated from the direction of God to pass to a new time to be lived according to the guidance of God and in God through Christ. And this, so that when Christ is manifested to the world, this individual may also manifest oneself together with Christ. When we attend to God's invitation to fellowship with Christ, the Lord forgives us and helps us to take off the old robes as we personally agree with Him that they indeed are not appropriate for our lives and to the extent that we want to get rid of them. Likewise, when we accept the invitation to fellowship with Christ, the Lord helps us to be clothed with the new as we agree with Him about something that is appropriate to our lives. Knowing how the Lord renews our understanding is vital, for He does not impose His will on us, but He teaches us about it so that we may choose it freely. The Lord offers us the newness of life in Him through the gospel, which is expressed as an offer. And as such, it is presented to everyone, but it only becomes personal for those who receive it as an offer. The scriptures call the form of interaction with God described above also as the law of understanding, whose theme is also addressed in a subject with the same title in the series on the life of the Christian in the world and exemplified in the text below. Romans 7, 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, or by understanding, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In all this process of being transformed by the renewal of understanding, it is crucial to note that the Lord does not intend to do this only through the action of people putting off their old garments. For the Lord, putting on the new should occur almost concurrently with the first act of undressing the old. The Lord does not want a Christian to be a person who undresses oneself of the old thinking and is left without new thinking or becomes an individual without inner convictions. The Christian process of putting off the old or inappropriate garments, in a way, is only considered accomplished when the person also puts on the new. If the putting off the old is symbolized by the figure of immersing in the waters so that the old is buried, the dressing of the new is the figure of the resurrection for the newness of life in the Lord. If the people in Noah's ark had been freed from the flood that destroyed the previous world in which they lived, but the waters of the flood had not subsided so they could return to live on earth, the people in the ark would also have perished by the same flood, not resulting effectively in some new condition of life. Thus, the Christian who thinks that just putting off the old man would be enough for a new life might become exposed to shame, because then one will only have arguments against the old man, but one will have nothing new to offer for one's life and for whom asks him or her about one's new condition. Revelation 3, 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. What, for instance, completes a one-day activity cycle of a child who played in the sand or on the ground, and who has become soiled, is when, after a bath, he or she may wear clean and fragrant clothes that someone prepared for this kid. Therefore, putting on the new or the clean is like the coronation of the process of undressing and washing. When the last text above says that Christ calls people to come and buy white garments from Him, He is obviously not saying to buy them for money or sacrifice, but simply through faith in Him, remembering that the prophet Isaiah and the book of Revelations declare that we can buy from the Lord what we need not for price or money, but simply by maintaining fellowship with the Lord. Moreover, After seeing in previous chapters that inappropriate thoughts also include those related to the order of Aaron and similar to it, we may see that we live in an environment with many distorted concepts, evils, and perversity on the most diverse fronts of life that there are in the present world. That is why, in everything, we need the Lord's mercy and light both to be able to dispose of inappropriate concepts and to receive principles according to the heavenly kingdom. Often, the spots most impregnated in an individual's thoughts are those that arise from things that have the appearance of godliness or devotion to God, but that, in reality, are acts performed according to the order of Aaron or in line with the parable for the present time. Many concepts or works that try to obscure the light of God's will in a person's life do not seem evil to natural eyes, they look like a good work towards God, and they even are presented under intense dedication and zeal. However, if they are used as a means to try to justify a person before the Lord, they are undoubtedly evil or wicked works because they despise the suffering of Christ on the cross of Calvary and the grace that the Lord Jesus grants us after his death and resurrection from the dead. But thank God that through the High Priest Jesus helps us to be free both from the garments of the inappropriate things of the world in general and from the things of priestly orders similar to those of the order of Aaron. Hebrews 9:14-15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Mentioning this, then, once again, in the exposition of the Scriptures, the putting off something is also to die or consider oneself dead toward that. When we lay off some thought or refute it, we die for the conservation and practice of that thought. The figure of baptism to which Peter refers when he mentions Noah and the ark that he built is a symbol of the real baptism in Christ by faith and fellowship with him, in which, when we are inserted more and more into God by the guidance of our High Priest Jesus, we die for the inappropriate concepts of the world, but also for the concepts of the order of Aaron or similar to it. When in the book of Hebrews, it is described that the change of priesthood implies a change of law, it is also implied that this means that we died for those concepts and practices of previous priesthoods to resurrect together with Christ to a new set of principles found in the law of Christ, in the truth, in his righteousness, or the law of freedom in the Spirit of God. Romans 7:6 and 4. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Other texts that also expose what was mentioned above, for example, are James 1:21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Colossians 3:5-11. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Let us note how broad the set of aspects that we may extract from the texts presented above is, among which we reinforce, then, that to put off a thought or line of conduct is to die for this aspect, that is, not to keep any more a concept is also, consequently, leave it behind and not practice it any more. Looking still at the last text above in reference, we may see evidenced one of the reasons why the Lord teaches us through the figure of the ark and baptism as to undress ourselves of the old man or to die for the things of the old man, for when we find in the same text the expression in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, we can see that the old man's things are also considered as a way of living life. Therefore, being guided by a set of concepts and behaviors is similar to saying that a person can live in them or be in them. On the other hand, to stop being in them, it is necessary to abandon them or be dead to them, not to dress more of them, not to put them on any more, which involves a practical attitude of separating from them or indeed leaving them behind. One of the aspects of being in Christ, then, is not being living in the old man's things, in his concepts, and neither in line with his attitudes. And, on the other hand, it is to be clothed with concepts and attitudes consistent with the newness of life that is offered to us through the gospel of God. Ephesians 4:17-24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. In this last text, we can repeatedly see that people practice many evils precisely because of what they think, that is, because of the futility of their mind or because having their understanding darkened. So, when the Lord Jesus offers us his ministry or service as the eternal high priest, he is offering us an understanding of good and evil as to their respective roots so that we may abandon the practice of evil and incline ourselves to the truth, to heavenly righteousness, and the practice of good. The Lord Jesus offers us a more profound or consistent insight or understanding of good and evil so that we do not let the root of evil continue to strengthen us for evil and so that we may begin to live and walk according to the root of truth, the righteousness of God, and the gifts the Lord wants to give to those who place their trust in him. Nevertheless, once we have reprised this matter of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in his role as high priest who teaches us to put off the thoughts and deeds of the old man to put on the new man who is according to the truth and righteousness of God. We would like to highlight even more explicitly a remarkably excellent aspect of the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek that is offered to us in Christ in his position as the eternal high priest and that the order of Aaron or the like cannot or never will be able to offer. After making a more extended introduction of this chapter to highlight or repeat the help that Christ offers us to have a renewed mind according to the truth and righteousness of God, help that is also typified by the ark built by Noah and by baptism, we would like, then, to advance to emphasize the theme presented in the title of this chapter, namely, the glory of the high priest who calls us to be in him or for what is called to be in Christ. We believe that it is very significant and even crucial to address this aspect in the light of what was exposed previously in this chapter so that it is emphasized here that the renewal of understanding and discernment that a Christian needs for one's life is offered to him or her in the priesthood of Christ in a way very distinct from how the world in general or the priesthood similar to the order of Aaron propose the renewal of understanding, conscience, or discernment. While a vast part of the world and the priestly orders similar to the order of Aaron think that the transformation of understanding, conscience, or discernment is based on accumulated knowledge or rules that meet their yearnings for managing acquired knowledge and life, in the order of Melchizedek, wisdom, understanding, discernment, and all life are grounded on the eternal high priest and the relationship with this high priest. Thus, when we allow the Lord Jesus, as the eternal high priest, to instruct and guide us according to the truth, he first calls us to be in close fellowship with him to by this fellowship instruct and strengthen us in the truth or what we need to know in the light of God's thoughts. In this way, a primary discernment or one of the primary aspects of the renewal of understanding to which Christ wants to lead us refers to the point that in the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. This action is not carried out by a mere transfer of knowledge and where people are left with the whole responsibility of living and seeking growth according to the knowledge that has been transmitted to them, but it is accomplished primarily by the abiding of a person in Christ or the eternal high priest who attends and assists those who remain in him. In the order of Melchizedek, the renewal of understanding, the granting of discernment, and growth is an ongoing work done according to the heavenly love and mercy that is available in the Lord to all who believe in him. 1 Corinthians 8, 1b, till 3. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. 1 Corinthians 3:7. But God who gives the increase. Also through the facet of God's love, we are called to realize that the knowledge of the truth and the wisdom of the Lord are available to us in him and our relationship with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1, 30-31. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Therefore, if we return to Noah's Ark as a figure of baptism, we can see that what saved Noah and his family was not the mere knowledge that there would be a flood, but the fact that they were inside the ark or inserted in it. Similarly, if we return to the figure of baptism associated with the call to put off the old man because of Christ's death on the cross of Calvary and to put on the new man created according to God's truth and righteousness, we can still observe in other Bible texts that baptism in Christ is also a continuous act of insertion, as follows. Romans 6, 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Galatians 3, 26-28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. While the priests in the order of Aaron or any order that uses mediators limited in their very weaknesses seek God to obtain information to pass on to the people they represent so that people then may try to live and walk based on their own strengths and the information given to them, in the order of Melchizedek the high priest invites us to be continuously associated with him, inserted in him, or clothed in him. More than being able to have the privilege of having information, obtaining knowledge, or discerning the truth, the eternal high priest according to the order of Melchizedek calls us to remain continually in the source of truth, wisdom, and newness of life so that this source may also be with us continuously or in everything we do. Recalling what has also been mentioned previously, through the ministry of the eternal high priest, the Lord Jesus can work in us also purifying our consciences so that our hearts remain in him and so that being in him, we may sit together with him in the heavenly places and for him to be with us at all times of our lives. Yet in other words, in the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek, we can have continuous access to the mind of Christ or the eternal high priest in whom are hidden all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom concerning what leads to growth towards eternal life. Also what is not beneficial, and what never grows old or becomes obsolete in the face of so many new challenges that a person may face in life. 1 Corinthians 2, 14-16. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Because a Christian can have continuous access to the mind of Christ in Christ, one does not need to live and walk limited to the rudiments, cultures, or traditions of the world or to the information that is stored in puddles or cisterns of the natural man, for in Christ, one is offered rivers of living water that flow from the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of those who believe in the Lord and remain in fellowship with him. John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Therefore, in one of its aspects, the so-called being in Christ is expressed by being or remaining in fellowship with the Lord Jesus in such a way that at every moment of life, a Christian can be exposed to the truth, the instruction of the Lord, to the light of Christ, or the perception of what is good or evil according to what the Lord sees. Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, I will guide you with my eye. If someone is in Christ, one is directly connected to the head of the body of Christ, which is Christ himself, and in whom a person no longer needs to be wise in one's own eyes, one no longer needs to lean on what is fragile and limited, because one has access to the mind of the one in whom one is inserted and who knows everything and everyone perfectly. We are insisting on mentioning the point above because life in the Lord is not merely based on transferred knowledge and because the failure to understand that Christ's work as high priest is manifested to an individual by remaining in fellowship with him has led many people to stay apart from the newness of life that is already available to them in the Lord. Thus, it is worth highlighting specifically here concerning the access to the mind of Christ, that if someone ceases to be in Christ, one obviously also no longer has access to the mind of Christ, for the mind of Christ is of Christ, and not of the person who associated with him at some point in one's life and who supposedly would have received a download of the mind of Christ in one's personal mind. The Lord Jesus Christ promised the Holy Spirit to be in the hearts of those who believe in the gospel to guide them in the truth and in what he, Christ, and the Heavenly Father want to announce to a person. However, if a person remains apart from fellowship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, one is no longer supported to discern the truth and to walk in the will of God even if one has done it in earlier times. In his position as the eternal high priest, Christ can and wants to give us the privilege of being able to be in him also because, without him, we do not have the sufficiency to live and walk according to God's will in the world. John 15:4a and 5b. Abide in me, and I in you. For without me you can do nothing. The renewal of understanding that a Christian needs so much is not to start to memorize every text of the Bible in his or her mind, similarly to what was practiced regarding the law of Moses in the Old Covenant, but it is to understand that the whole provision of understanding, discernment of good and evil, and of strengthening to live and walk according to the will of God is not separated from the Lord or can only be found in the person of Christ and the fellowship with him. 2 Corinthians 3:4-6. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In his position as the eternal high priest who assists us and intercedes for us before our Heavenly Father, Christ calls every Christian to continually present to him every thought, discernment, or understanding. For it is also in Christ that every Christian has at one's disposal the mighty spiritual weapons for the destruction of strongholds that are based on thoughts, arguments, high things, or arrogance that arise against the knowledge of God or that are contrary to the Lord's will. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Why, then, do so many people make mistakes so frequently or so repeatedly in what they think and, consequently, in what they do? Many people in the world are subject to such an accentuated continuity of errors because they do not know or despise the scriptures that say that Christ is the only mediator for them to understand the will of God according to the new covenant and because, not knowing or not believing in the Lord, they do not come to Christ to have the light of God's instruction that leads to life and not to the way of death. In the first place, God did not grant us the scriptures for us to try to live by the writings themselves or through the knowledge acquired. God has given us the scriptures so that, through them, we know that life is in Christ and that we know that in Christ we have access to God for the new covenant and the help of a high priest who always can instruct and assist us. John 5:38-40. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. To be inclined to try to live and walk by the knowledge acquired or that is in the scriptures, and not through continuous fellowship with the Lord Jesus, is an inclination towards the denial of the place where the Lord's newness of life is found, as described in the very words of Christ. It is turning back to the attempts at living by the letter that has no life in itself, similarly to how it was under the order of Aaron. God does not call people to do what they themselves think is good and right to do for God, just as God does not want people to do what they themselves feel good to do out of gratitude to God. What God wants people to do is for them to remain continually in Christ so that they may continuously live and walk together with the Lord. Therefore, returning to the aspect of putting on Christ, we may also understand from this aspect that the Lord's call for every Christian is that each one enters into Christ or puts on Christ to know how Christ thinks, how he instructs us to act, as well as to be supported in everything by the grace, righteousness, and strength that the Lord wants to grant us. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Romans 13:13-14. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill its lusts. Unfortunately, many Christians have the idea that prayer is coming before God and pouring out a set of requests before Him, then turning away and waiting for God to fulfill all requests. And they do this because they think that as good Christians, they must fulfill this obligation. However, this type of prayer disregards that when Christ calls tired and overloaded people to come to Him to be relieved of their burdens, He also calls them to be in fellowship with Him so that they may be taught in Him so that they may find rest for their souls. Although the liberation from the weights and burdens of life is an essential part of the salvation to which Christ calls us, it is the abiding of Christ's presence with a person and one's remaining in Christ that grants what a person continually needs so much in one's heart. Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. A person just pouring out before God what he or she wants is not the practice of what is called in Scripture to be in Christ or what is prayer. When the Heavenly Father offers us Christ as our eternal High Priest in whom we can be continually, He offers us the privilege of being in Christ to continually know more about the glory of Christ and the Heavenly Father Himself to be transformed in the Lord from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, also because of all that the Lord offers to those who remain in Him or who accept the call to be in Christ, the idea of mediators other than the Lord Jesus for people's relationship with God is so inappropriate, meaningless, and despicable in the eyes of the Lord, and which should also be seen in the same way by everyone who longs for eternal life in the Lord. John 17, 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Finally, in this chapter, we would like to emphasize that due to the greatness and the essentiality of the theme of being able to be in Christ, we know that there are still many other wonderful parts to be added to it. However, so that we may continue to focus more specifically on the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ and for us to first come to know more about the Lord who is offered us to be our eternal High Priest, we will be dealing more particularly with the topic of being in Christ in the subject entitled The Core Principle of Life for a Christian of the series The Life of the Christian in the World, as well as in the various subjects of the series New Creation in Christ and Walking in Newness of Life. 1 Corinthians 1, 2b, till 8. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by, or in, Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.